Welcome to a special edition of the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of Global Gaming Business, and for this week and the last week, we have focused on IGT, the largest slot machine manufacturer in the world. Last week, we sat down with TJ Matthews, the chairman and CEO of IGT, and this week, we talk with Steve Mara, the company president. As the leader of the worldwide slot industry, IGT has been under tremendous pressure to maintain its market share and its lead in the technology area of the business. Morrow is involved in almost all aspects of IGT and explains how he has helped to streamline the company that has grown into a multinational corporation. He spoke with me for the cover story of the February Global Gaming Business over the phone from his Reno offices in January. Steve Morrow, thanks for joining us on the Global Gaming Business Podcast. It's great to have you here, and nice to catch up with you after all this time.
Well, pleasure's mine, Roger. Your publication has done some wonderful things for our industry, so it's nice to be part of it.
Great. Well, we're looking forward to covering your company in our February issue. You've been there for such a long time, running the Megabucks systems on the East Coast, and then becoming COO a couple of years ago. Tell me what's different now in the company than was actually in place when you were in Atlantic City.
Well, it's for the most obvious thing is its size. In the early 90s, I thought we were becoming a big. Too big to be nimble, and we're larger now by exponentially from that point. And that really is one of the things that we have to work on is as we grow, still maintaining the roots of our company as a small little Reno-based technology company, and that has its. Trials and tribulations.
Yeah, no question. Give us some of the idea of what your responsibilities are. You're head of the actual gaming division of IGT, correct?
So under in my group, if you actually start from the closest thing to the customers, because everything here at IGT, we always ask what's in the customer. So when I look at my organization, first is sales, and so I have all sales, both domestically and Europe, South Africa, Australia, and Asia. Then, from a product development standpoint, I have all the resource, whether that be in game design or graphics, that support all those regions. Then the next thing is the engineering resources and the technology areas that go in developing the products that our product development group back out. Then from a manufacturing standpoint, all of our manufacturing around the world is done here in Reno with the exception of Barcrest in the UK and in Japan. And then following that up is our global support and service for machines and systems. Mm-hmm. And then rounding it up is all the people whose jobs is to count all the money.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, the story of IGT is so interesting, starting from the early 80s when it was just a small technology company, and now, of course, it's the 800-pound gorilla, as some of the operators call it. Your market share, though, has declined a little bit recently, giving up some of that to companies like WMS, Bally, and Aristocrat. Are you doing anything to regain that market share?
Well, absolutely. Every day we get up and we approach every sale is that we want to get 100%. Mm-hmm. We realize that that's not always possible, but that's our goal. And you have hit on it that our market share has decreased a little bit over the past few years, and that's a function of a couple of things. One of those is that our competition is, in fact, better than it's ever been. And I think that there was also some right-sizing of the casino floors after our really large market share gains during the Tito expansion, where IGT had a first-mover's advantage, as we typically do in technology shifts. So our market share went up over the 70% mark, which is really, when you look at it, not sustainable. Over the, you know, now that we're kind of in that lull till the next replacement cycle, casinos took it as an opportunity to right-size their floor, because I think they all want competition. And even when I was a slot manager at Harrah's many, many years ago, you always like to have a balanced floor. And so I think it's those two items that we're really seeing an impact on us. That said, is that, you know, we're always looking for you know, how we make our games better. And there were also some unintended consequences from ticketing that took away some of our advantages. Before ticketing, you couldn't have low denomination pennies, and that you know, that was a space that we had not had a lot of experience in, but the Aristocrat did, and they came to the United States full force with a built up library, and to their credit, they capitalized on that. But since then, we're making some inroads there, and even ticketing eliminated some of the mechanical advantages that we had. We don't talk about a lot, but you know, once ticketing came, you didn't need hoppers, you didn't need coin escalators, you didn't need coin comparators, all things that were required a lot of engineering and IGT had perfected over the years. But those evaporated overnight with ticketing, and allowed some entry of some new competitors.
Sure, absolutely. Let's talk about the technology. I mean, you've always been a technology company, and you've always been at the cutting edge of all the new technologies. What are some of the things that you're working on right now that are going to keep you, you know, on the edge of technology?
Well, I think if you just look at G2E and take a walk through our booth in preparation for that show, I'd ask our group to put together a list of technology first or gameplay first that IGT was introducing, and it was a full page single spaced of new and innovative things that IGT was bringing to the market as a first mover. And you look at some of our gameplay, our group play features, you look at the I think one of the big hits of the show was our multi-layer display technology that we have in the Indiana Jones machine, where it really did take a video, add some three-dimensional looks to it, and it had the look and feel of a spinning reel machine. We had a round-top LCD, something that no one else has, because as we move to LCDs, there's a tendency for all the boxes to be square, and we know our casino customers want a varied look across the floor. Our investment really even in table games, whether it be in the DigiDeal or our multiplayer station, and then really the crowning project initiative that IGT has going is SB, server-based gaming, and some of the products and applications that we're developing. Some on our own and some in conjunction with Jay Walker and Walker Digital.
Let's talk about some of those network gaming systems. Are you developing different varieties of them, or are you focusing on one with some different applications?
Well, and that's one thing about server-based gaming. If you ask people, if you ask 10 people, what is server-based gaming, you probably get 12 different responses.
Right.
And it's most fundamental part of it is what people commonly refer to as downloading configuration and changing the floor, downloading games digitally instead of going out the old-fashioned way of changing glass and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But we think that's really what we call core plumbing. That's the foundation of any system. Where we see the real value is are in the marketing applications and the and some bonus applications that will be deployed through our service window. And it's that service window which we had displayed at the show, and I think actually last year it received an award, that really is the portal to deliver those high-value applications directly to the player in the main game stream. We'll see those. I think they'll be similar to games, Roger, that there'll be a couple of killer applications, just like there are in games, whether it be triple play or Wheel of Fortune, games that stand out. they're hard to come by. And then I think there'll be lots of other applications, and there'll be a menu that, that just like there are games on the floor. But that's really where we see the future of SB, much like the internet, where email, that was kind of the equivalent of, I think, download and configuration, but it really was applications such as, you know, Google and eBay and YouTube that when you really start to see the value of it.
You mentioned the Indiana Jones and the pure depth technology. Is that going to be the style of game that would be the workhorse of any kind of server-based system?
Well, it could be in a server-based, but even sooner than that, I think you'll see it show up in some all-video markets. We actually have it out in the field in Minnesota, where traditionally, because it is all-video, they've not been able to give their players that the experience of a traditional stepper machine. So I think it'll have some applications in those areas, maybe areas such as Rhode Island, where it's a video lottery. So I think that's where you'll first see it.
Okay.
You're right. When it gets to the SB world, it really does lend itself to the full complement of server-based applications, including that download and config, because up to this point, no one has been able to come up with an economical way to implement changing physical reels.
At G2E, we saw some of this network gaming being used by several different manufacturers to really create new types of play experience, like many involving competition and interactive features. Is IGT doing the same thing to create these new styles of slot play?
Yes. In fact, one of the benefits of the network world that Serverbase will be bringing is the ability to have people across the floor, whether they be in different zones or even those in the same bank, compete against each other or share in common bonus prizes. And I think that is one of the things, reasons why table games have been so popular, because people, they are inherently social. That's what you see at table games. So whether it was our first implementation of Indiana Jones or Star Wars or eBay are some of the examples of group gaming. And then we will also use our multiplayer station platform to deploy those type of games. But I think that IGT is no different than other manufacturers in that will be a growing segment, and the proliferation of the network floor will be the enabler of that.
Let's talk about guaranteed play. That's been implemented here in Las Vegas at the station casinos on their video poker machines, and it's had some mixed results. We saw at G2E that you're going to be doing it in some of the video slots, I think, which may make more sense. And then, of course, the really interesting thing I thought you had was the guaranteed play at a table game. Explain how that's all going to work out and how that's going to progress for IGT.
First, maybe I should talk about the experience and what we've learned from the test so far. And we do consider it a test. And this is one of the things that we debated internally is with guaranteed play is putting it into the field before it really is a full product, because the full product is being able to sell packages and time-restricted coupons. Right now, we just have a standalone poker game. It's missing the key components of what will make it a successful product. But we have learned some things along the way, and we're changing some of the game screens and how it's portrayed to the customer. But I think later this year is when we will implement the capability of ticketing and therefore the sell packages of guaranteed play in combination with a package to stay at a hotel and a room and a beverage, along with being able to sell gaming. That's really when it becomes the product. So I caution people to draw any conclusions about either the success or failure of the product up until this point. Now, that said, we're testing guaranteed play on table games on cruise ships as we speak. Uh-huh. And because this is a product on table games that doesn't require technology in order to sell packages and to give coupons, we're able to test more of the real product, and we're actually able to iterate the product faster because it's in a unregulated market, and you actually get a whole new group of players every week. And what we're seeing there is very encouraging, and it's more in line with what we expect to see with the video slots and guaranteed play once we get the system hooked up to it.
Yeah, I think when you hear Jay Walker talk about the pricing paradigm that this involves, I think you really have to take the big picture in before you make any judgment on whether it's going to be a success or a failure.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. As I said, that's one of the things we debated here, but there was just a lot of enthusiasm about getting something out in the field. And in retrospect, was poker and standalone the best move? I don't know, but I do know that once we get it as a full product, I think we'll see the benefits and the results that people have been talking about.
Okay. Steve, you purchased a lot of technology from electronic table game suppliers. How do you plan to expand the MP series, and will you use this product line to compete with the likes of Shuffle Master in this product space?
Absolutely. It's a segment that IGT wasn't in before. It fits into our strategy of we want to be the only supplier that an operator can go to, fill 100% of this floor, from whether it's poker, spinning reel, video, electronic table games, slot systems, table game system. So it's an area that not only we wanted to be in, but it certainly is a growth area. And as tables become electronic, it will enable us to do a lot of the things that we've done that made us so successful in slots, such as bonusing and using bringing SB in their service window to the table so that it's integrated with the slot floor. But absolutely, when we go into any segment, we go into it to be number one. Actually, I would comment on one thing on the MP series is that what you saw at the show where we had the horse race game, that was actually a game that we used a third-party developer to come up with. So it shows two things. One is that our ability to use third parties to develop games not only on standalone games, which we've done for years, but also on this platform. But it also shows the variability of the products that we can deploy on that platform, not just the standard commodity, blackjack or baccarat or roulette.
Right.
It is a much more versatile product for other types of games, including other group gaming concepts.
Uh-huh, I see. We also saw at the show some smaller versions of the multiplayer genre product, including a smaller version of the Wheel of Fortune Super Spin. Are you going to extend this strategy to other IGT games?
Yes, because all casinos aren't built the size of properties in Atlantic City or on the Strip or some of the large properties in California. They're all varying sizes and shapes, and although when we first came out with this product, we wanted to make the biggest bang and the biggest impression possible, its sheer size did limit us to some degree on where we can place it, just because of its size. And then it took up such a large number of games. So when you're in a high-volume casino, such as California, when you're displacing 20 games with 9 games, the level of volume that you have to do just to break even,
sure,
isn't incredible. So to the extent that we can shrink down that footprint, we think it makes it more more viable product around the world.
And how about the community games? Have they been a real growing part of your inventory at this point?
Yeah, and I think when we talk about community games and network games, they come in various sizes and shape, and they could be widespread across the floor. So if I'm playing in one section and you're playing in another section, we can't even see each other, that we could be sharing in a bonus. But most of the implementations up to this point are more in the banked approach, such as Wheel of Fortune, Super Spin, and what we're going to be doing with Indiana Jones. And I think you really do have to mention WMS has done a good job with their Monopoly game. So it's that style, that bank style, that I think will be the first manifestations of group gaming.
Yeah, let's go back to some of your real strengths. The traditional stepper slot, you know, it's always been a very important part of the IGT strategy. Where does that fit in now?
Well, I think it's there's actually a resurgence. If you go back a few years, I know there was one operator in Atlantic City who was actually writing the obituary for the death of the spinning reel slot, and I joke with him quite a bit about that now, because, you know, as we talked about, ticketing really allowed low denomination video, and so that the video segment really started to take off, much to the detriment of spinning reel. But I think what we've seen in the past 24 months or so is that with that five-reel spinning reel game, there's been a resurgence of spinning reel as far as the market share. So I think that that share of video versus spinning reel has started to stabilize, and in some cases, spinning reel is making a little bit of a comeback. But for a few years, though, there was a steady decline in spinning reel. But as I say, that I think that that has balanced out and the market has found equilibrium. It continues to be a very big part of our product initiative, and that's why at G2E we unveiled our new AVP stepper that had digital top glass and it had a digital service window under the reel, so therefore that the entire floor can have the service window deployed. It and those marketing applications that I talked about, which are so important, will be able to be deployed on all games, whether they be poker, video, or spinning reel.
So you don't think that these service windows are going to be distractions to the players? I know this is a big press for IGT, but in some of the operators I've spoken with are a little bit afraid that these service windows, you know, will be a distraction, move them off the machines to other locations. Are you planning to control that in any manner?
Yes, we've actually done some focus groups on the service window, and that is a big debate internally, is that you don't want to get to the point where the service window is viewed as the equivalent of spam on your computer. That's why we have specific rules of when the service window can be opened and when it cannot be opened. You wouldn't want to open it during the middle of gameplay. We will also be able to give the casino customer ability to set some further rules about that.
So you can get the casino operator will be able to control that to whatever extent they want.
That's correct.
Steve, is there a single IGT product you will feel will be your new franchise product at some point?
The vastness of our product roadmap really makes it hard to pick out one. But I'll actually take the easy way out and pick out two that I think really were standouts. One, I think, is the MLD and the multi-layer display, and, you know, how that may change the game on the floor in the future. And then secondly, really, is our entire initiative around server base and our vision of, you know, what server base will be, more on those marketing applications, more on network games, and less on that download and configuration. And between SB and the MLD, we have a huge technology shift ahead of us.
You know, we published a story on server-based gaming in our November and December issues, which I've been told by a lot of the operators that it really opened their eyes to what it can be for them in terms of cost savings, in terms of marketing to their customers and that the things of that nature. Have you figured out, what the business model is going to be for IGT, the pricing structure and the marketing effort that you're going to undertake to the operators?
Could sum it up in one word: flexible. I think that there'll be a combination of all different pricing models, depending on what component. The base system may be a sale. There may be components that are based on the number of units that are hooked up to it. There could be applications that are transactional based. There could be applications that are sold for a one-time fee. There could be applications that are based on volume. So I think that it's so new and so undefined of what SB can be that we really will try to tailor all the business model around the needs of each customer, because they are varied and they all have different sizes and they all have different capabilities. So flexible is the word I would use to describe it.
We understand that City Center here in Las Vegas has decided to open as a fully server-based slot floor. What role is IGT going to play in that?
Well, we hope to be the vendor that they choose to deploy server-based gaming. It's a marquee property. All eyes will be on City Center, so they're a very good existing systems advantage customer. So we hope to be there with a server-based system. I'm sure that others have the same goal. And then we also hope to use City Center as a showpiece for our other new technology, whether it be in slot machines or electronic table games. So it's an exciting property. I think everyone wants to be in a $7+ billion project.
Well, Steve, I just have one more question. Tell us where you see the slot market going in the next 5 years. Not only are the big four or five companies making huge strides, but there's a lot of interest in smaller companies like Konami and Aruze and Casino Technology and others, developing interesting games and system. Where do you think IGT is going to come out of this, as things consolidate?
Well, we have a commitment both to our employees and to our shareholders and to our customers to be number one, to be at the forefront of technology. There we do see increasing competition, but at the same time, as technology and intellectual property continue to become important and more expensive, that it will be difficult for manufacturers of all levels to remain competitive. Right now, it will spend in excess of $1 billion over the next 5 years on R&D, more than our competitors combined. That is a competitive advantage for IGT, will continue to be a competitive advantage to IGT. So whether it's 1 year from now or 5 years from now, we are committed to maintaining our position as the market leader.
All right, Steve. Well, thanks for the time. I really appreciate it. I think the company's taking some great strides. And as you say, if you keep using that kind of R&D budget, I think nobody's going to catch up to you.
Well, thank you, Roger. I appreciate the opportunity, and best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for choosing the Global Gaming Business Podcast. If you want to learn about any of the issues discussed on this show, go to our website at ggbmagazine.com or subscribe to the industry's most comprehensive newsletter, Global Gaming Business Weekly. We'll see you next week for another edition of the Global Gaming Business Podcast.